Welcome to Sonae Capital first quarter 2020 results conference call. During the introduction, hosted by Mr. Miguel Gil Mata, Sonae Capital Chief Executive Officer, and Mrs. Yvonne Teixeira, Sonae Capital Chief Financial Officer, all participants will be on a listen-only mode. After the introduction, there will be an opportunity to ask questions.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for attending Sonae Capital first quarter 2020 conference call. First of all, I really hope that you and your families are healthy and safe. And I have here with me Yvonne Teixeira, Sonae Capital CFO, Nuno Barreiro, Head of Planning and Control and Investor Relations, and Elena Almeida with the Investor Relations team. Given the state of exception we are all experiencing due to the COVID-19 pandemic, apart from briefly presenting our first quarter results, the main objective of this conference call would be to provide you with a clearer view about the impact of this pandemic in our operations, some specific actions that we are taking in order to protect our businesses, and finally, to give you an update about our expectations for the restart of the operations that have been suspended, even if, I must say, a scenario that's still to a great extent uncertain. We will then be most happy to take all your questions. In terms of the pandemic impact in each one of our businesses, starting with fitness, on the Friday the 13th of March, we closed our operations, our 37 clubs, even though it was not at that time obligatory to make such a closure. We thought that it would be on the best interest of our clients that we would close the clubs and, of course, stop charging monthly fees to our clients. The clubs have since remained closed, and we will still be closed at least until the end of May, most probably. We are still waiting in terms of regulation, the definition by the Portuguese government as to when the clubs will be ready, will be possible to open. Hospitality, we have progressively closed our hotel units starting on the 15th of March, and by the 25th of March, all of our units were closed. In Troia, we have kept Atlantic Ferries running, even though with only part of the timetable, and we have kept the small supermarkets, New Super, and the Marina, but apart from that, all the remaining services are closed, and we still don't have a definite date that we will reopen those activities. Turning now to Adira. Madeira has seen a fairly good first quarter, but the truth is we have, since mid-March, seen the number of orders decrease, not because there is a lack of interest. We keep engaged with our clients in terms of commercial activity, but the feedback is that final investment decisions from our clients are being postponed, and so the number of ordering, the quantity of order intake has been declining. In energy is the most resilient segment within our portfolio, and no disruptive changes have been experienced or are expected for the production business, even though some decrease of thermal consumption is expected, but not disruptive. The Mangual biomass fire cogeneration plant is the main exception, since we have had to postpone some of the ongoing works for the finalization of the construction of the plant. And as such, we are now envisaging that the plant will be running from June onwards and reaching the full speed over the course of the second half of the year. In terms of Futura, our retail and trade business. We have witnessed increased volatility on the markets, the commodity markets, CO2 emissions, electricity, natural gas, and to prevent an increase in working capital requirements, we have slowed down the activity. Real estate, in terms of real estate, the main impact is a scenario of uncertainty that has caused delays on a couple of investment decisions, but to be honest, we are not witnessing a full stoppage of this activity. Things are still running, even though with some delays. Now, just to give you an overview of some actions that we are taking to improve the resilience of our business units. In terms of fixed costs, we are trying to minimize real estate rent, namely on fitness, since in terms of the hotel business, most of these rents are intercompany rents, so would not be particularly relevant for this stance. But we have both seen reached negotiations where we'll postpone the payment of the rents and also in some cases a reduction of those rents. This will be visible in terms of cash flow, not so much in terms of P&L because of the IFRS 16 rules, which will minimize the impact in terms of P&L. We have also turned to layoff, a legal figure that the Portuguese government has and not only, of course, has created, and we have in many of our units, with the exception of energy, resourced to this figure to minimize personnel costs during the stoppage of our units. All investment decisions that are still not committed are now being analyzed on a case-by-case basis so that we can achieve a balance since what we consider essential between two dimensions. On the one hand, what is necessary, the investment necessary to assure the growth strategy of our business units that we are still pursuing, of course, and on the other hand, the protection of Sona Capital liquidity. In terms of because of its strategic relevance, Mangual Biomass Fire Cogeneration Plants on the one hand and Santa Polonia Hotel Unit are both progressing as planned. In terms of liquidity, we have been working our debt refinancing even before the rise of this pandemic situation since end of last year, trying to optimize average maturity and cost of debt. Yvonne will give you a clearer picture on that in just a few minutes, but I want to highlight that as of today, we have cash and credit and available credit facilities in the amount of 72.5 million euros, and all our financing needs scheduled for 2020 are covered. And then, as a final point, what are we doing to prepare the return to activity and what we could call a new or next normal? As I was telling you, in terms of fitness, we are still waiting for the government to determine when will it be possible to open our gyms, but we are already, actually have been for quite a few time now, fully ready to restart our operation with full safety for our customers and our staff. We are doing a number of adaptations to our fitness clubs, and we hope that as soon as the government permits the opening of those clubs, we will start operation. In terms of hotel business, we are already planning the opening of the Sun and Sea units, namely Aqualus, Troia, and Lagos, and have already been witnessing some pickup in reservations, and also in Porto, the House Ribeira Hotel. This will go progressively from the 15th of May until the beginning of June, and of course we will be reassessing this as time goes by, and we'll be ready to open other units as needed. Very important to note that all our units will have the safe and clean certification that the authorities have created. Tourism de Portugal has created. Adira was the last company to implement a layoff situation, but is now on a low speed, even though we do still maintain some manufacturing activity. The outlook for this business will be very dependent on the evolution of other economies and the industrial sectors in the countries we work with, which is a great number of countries. So we are still pushing ahead in terms of commercial activity so that when things reopen, we are at a strong position to take orders. And in real estate, as I was telling you a while ago, we do still see activity. We keep negotiating all of the files that we were already under development, namely WTC and UNOP3, and we are still optimistic as to these units in the medium term, probably with some delays. In terms of residential units in Troia, although we can count with some delay, we have indeed already signed two additional leases in this second quarter, and activity is still ongoing. Perhaps UNOP 1 and UNOP 4, given the tourism sector is one of the most affected by the pandemic, maybe for those the outlook could be a little more difficult. And as a conclusion, as you can imagine, the pandemic has forced us to work with a degree of uncertainty that we have not experienced before. But I still can assure you that we are implementing all the measures to guarantee the safety of our employees and customers. That is a very first step. And we are focusing on improving the efficiency of our operations as to protect cash flow, and at the same time actively working in order to make sure we have the right conditions and resources, namely financial resources, human resources, and the correct business models for the restart. I would now hand over the conference to Yvonne. Yvonne, please.
Thank you, Miguel. Hello, everyone. Once again, thank you for attending our first quarter conference call. As Miguel was saying a while ago, we really think that the importance of this call is not so much about the results that Sonae Capital has presented on the fourth quarter, of course. This and how Sonae Capital is dealing with all the consequences of the pandemic, not only as per business unit development, but also as strength of his balance sheet, we really consider this to be important issues to bring forward to you. So I will just quickly summarize our main consolidated figures. The turnover of our business units stood at roughly $98 million. This was a significant increase in the turnover, but was mainly as a result of the consolidation of Futura, our trading and commercialization of energy segment, that contributed most to this increase. We saw also a growth of 6.2% of our EBITDA from our business units, reaching now 5.2 million euros. As Miguel was saying, in Troia, we on fourth quarter, we sold four properties, four Ocean Village, amounting to 2 million euros, and we have signed seven promissory sale and purchase agreements and reserves, this last amounting to roughly 4 million euros. As of today, we have already completed two additional sales deals and two additional promissory sales and purchase agreements. So what we are witnessing in Troia is that so far we have not seen no major impact on the disposal of our residential units available for sale. We really think that even now there might be an opportunity and another sales pitch to bring into the market, because we saw a lot of owners of properties deciding to make this quarantine in their properties in Troia, which is a quiet and small place, and we really do think that we have, with this pandemic, we have gained an argument regarding the disposal of these assets, because people now value more having a second home away from everything in order to rest and pass through this kind of time. Hopefully, we won't have anything like this in the near future, but anyway, we really think that our value proposition regarding our units in Troia has increased in terms of perception. So at the moment, we have 55 units available for sale, 31 villas, ocean villages, 23 plots, and only one apartment. Regarding other real estate assets, we have managed to close sales deeds reaching roughly 2 million euros, including Casa da Ribeira for 1.5 million euros, and we still have a global amount of promissory sales and purchase agreements of 35 million euros split between four or five assets already disclosed to the market last year, if I am correct. Regarding our balance sheet, we have closed in the first quarter a bond issue amounting to 50 million euros, a four-year bond issue. With this operation, Sonae Capital increased its average maturity life of its debt that now stands at 2.1 years. Sorry. In the meanwhile, we have set up a bridge loan amounting to 35 million euros. This is a bridge loan related to the green bond issuance that we are going to make once our biomass cogeneration fired plant starts working. I don't know if you recall, in the last call we had, we mentioned that we would be financing the 50 million euro investment in this site with a green bond issuance. This is a 40 million euro issuance with a 17-year tenor. Average life of this operation should be roughly 9 years. So once the cogeneration starts to work and we issue these bonds, we will mandatory prepay this bridge loan, but at the end of the day, our average life, our debt average life would be increased relevantly. Also, considering all other operations that we have been completed so far, Sonae Capital has cash available and credit lines amounting to 72.5 million euros, which allows us to face with confidence the uncertain times that we all have ahead of us. At the end of March, our net financial debt was roughly 160 million euros, 70.8 million euros above 2019 figures, and we delivered a net debt to EBITDA of 3.5 times and loan-to-value of 26.3%. As final remarks, and regarding once again the results of the first quarter, as Miguel was saying, energy has not been materially impacted by this pandemic. We really could see its effect on balancing the risk of Sonae Capital portfolio of businesses. Industrial engineering saw from mid-March onwards a decrease on the its orders pipeline, and real estate assets, not so much in Troia, but on the pickup and negotiations of new big tickets to be developed, we are seeing some delays. Investors are postponing a little bit their investment intentions. But anyway, regarding the deals that we were already negotiating, we do maintain the pace that we have seen prior to COVID. Fitness, hospitality, and Troia, those business units, in fact, have seen their operations suspended. In the first quarter results, you can only see roughly 2 week impact of this. So we do expect the second quarter of the year, since our operations will be sustaining for most of that of the period of the third quarter, we expect to have a more clear picture, at least in numbers, of the real impact this pandemic has on Sonae Capital results. Hopefully, we do consider that the things will go back, gradually improve on the third quarter ahead, perhaps with new normals and with adjusted business models, because the fact is that this pandemic has undoubtedly some effect on the social contract and the business models that we have implemented so far in these business units, hospitality and fitness. So thank you, everyone. Now we will be available to pick up your questions. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. And if you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, star and one to ask any question. And our first question today comes from the line of João Pinto from JB Capital Markets. Your line is now open.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for the update on the COVID-19 situation. It was very useful. I have some questions, if I may. On the WPC fund, I understand that the COVID-19 delayed the process, but what can you tell us about the interest for the assets? There were any potential bidders stepping back, or the interest is the same? My second question, I understood from your presentation that you are quite comfortable in terms of financing needs. Therefore, if the WPC transaction is closed in the near future, would you consider to propose a special dividend still in 2020? My third question on operations post-COVID, will you have any meaningful impact or extra costs related to the COVID-19 in any of your business units? And finally, you said investment decisions will be taken case by case. The potential opportunities in Mexico are suspended, or it remains an objective for the short term? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ron. Starting with the WTC fund, we believe that the interest is still there. The WTC fund is an asset that provides income for the owner, and the interest is still there. That's what we believe and what we are witnessing. So we don't believe that in terms of this type of asset, the situation has changed. Of course, investors are more cautious. That's obvious and expectable. But this type of assets is still raising much interest. So we don't have special worries in that front.
In fact, this crisis did not draw up all the liquidity that exists in the market. So anyway, the investors still have to find some secure assets to put their money in. So provided it delivers an income, a steady income, and providing that the tenants that occupy those assets have credit worthiness in order to keep paying up the rent, we really think that income related assets could be delayed, but it is a market that isn't going to disappear. More difficult will be, of course, placing assets, real estate assets for development, and that's what Miguel was saying regarding UNOP 1 and UNOP 4 in Troia.
In terms of funding, Yvonne, perhaps João was asking if
regarding
were
Joanne was asking if we do sell this year WTC fund, if we intend to pay an extraordinary dividend.
It's a question that is very hard to answer right now. It's so many variables, of course we haven't stopped and already going to your last question in terms of new investments, namely in Mexico. We haven't stopped that stream. We are cautious, of course, as everyone else should be, but this is also the time to make good deals, and we will have, as time goes by, to weigh all of these options. So we are not in a position to say that we would be paying an extra dividend if we were to sell the WTC fund. It's not possible to make that prediction. What we can tell is that if we have available funding, for instance, from the sale of real estate assets, we will still be looking at our growth plans. And so we are roughly keeping our strategies, even though adapted to the new realities, but we are still keeping our strategies alive. And so Mexico, yes, is still on our plans. And I think I left one of your questions about the impact on our operations. And extra costs. We do have some extra costs in most of our operations, but they are not actually material. The main issues in our case is the lack of revenues. For instance, in fitness or the hotel business.
You should expect an increase in certain types of costs related to cleaning and safety of the units, of course. You could also, at least in the fitness club, consider an indirect cost because the number of members that we can have once the clubs reopen, can have inside the house will be lower, of course. But anyway, nothing that so far represents a huge amount. Or a relevant amount to be considered.
Not at all.
The issue
will be on
the top line.
On the top line side, that's for sure.
Of course, we need to address all our cost structures, of course, and we are doing that. We always do that, and we do it now more deeply and more quicker, and we do address business models adjustments in order to comply with the new normal of each business unit, but of course the main issue now is the essence of top line, especially in hotelier, hospitality and fitness.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Bruno Bessa from CaixaBank BPI. Please ask your question. Your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you everyone for taking my questions. I have quite a few. So starting with the asset disposal program, I understand that you remain quite optimistic on the disposal of the WTC fund. My question is, do you think that it will still be possible to see the disposal of the WTC, UNOP3 and the other assets under PTSA during this year? And this will be my first question. Second question regarding your CapEx program for this year, excluding M&A, if you could update us on your expectations in terms of CapEx for this year, will be great. Third question, regarding your expansion plans in the hospitality business, I think that you mentioned that the Santa Polonia Hotel is moving forward. Considering this new backdrop for the tourism activities in Iberia, are you still moving forward with the hotel operation, the new hotel operation in Oporto that you've announced a couple of months ago? So this will be the third question. Fourth question regarding the debt evolution during the quarter. We saw a relatively high increase of net debt. This is due to the capex that you are incurring, but I also believe that the working capital has deteriorated during the quarter. I wonder if this is related with Futura, which is a quite working capital intensive business. I think you've mentioned that the activity of Futura might be impacted because you should be protecting the working capital under these circumstances. But my question is, are you expecting any further working capital pressure coming from Futura or any other operation during this pandemic context? And the last question regarding related with the liquidity and your balance sheet strength, if you could provide us visibility on your debt maturities for 2020, 2021, and 2022, would be great. And also in the negotiation that you are having with the banks, if you could give us a little bit of color on the general move that you are seeing with your creditor banks, if they are open, if it is being easy to negotiate the debt, if you are seeing relevant increases in terms of the cost of the new debt that you are issuing. So any color that you could provide on this will be highly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Bruno. Starting with your first question in terms of our disposal of real estate assets. As I have already mentioned, I think the scenario is quite different in terms of what are income assets and what are assets that would still need further or any real estate development. And as a last point, also residential units in Troia. All of these are three different realities. Starting with the last one, residential units in Troia are actually performing quite well given the circumstances. So not as well as we have seen in recent past, but the interest is still there and we're still seeing some significant movement, visits, interest, and are already booking some new sales, as you know. In terms of assets that that need further development, real estate development, those would be the ones that we believe will have less interest nowadays. But the income assets are still attractive for most of the investors. Money is lying around. Interest rates are quite low. Perhaps spreads will go up, but we believe interest rates will remain low. And the availability of cash needs a destination, and this type of assets are such a potential destination. And to answer your question, yes, we are still optimistic that we can see a closure of this type of operations before year end. If we are able to give that as a certainty, of course we are not, but we do keep optimism in terms of this type of assets. I think your other question about CapEx and how are we looking to this, we are, of course, cautious nowadays, and we are at the same time combining several variables. One, the liquidity and our funding capabilities and costs. Other, the disposal of real estate assets. And all of these combined to yield our ability and willingness to keep investing. We up till now, we do see things moving still on the right direction, and so we keep our intentions for CapEx, but always conditioned to this evolution. So yes, we do have an intention to keep our CapEx program, but we are extremely conservative that we always keep a strong balance sheet and adequate financing.
I would like to add up that, as Miguel was saying in the beginning of this call, all the investments, all CapEx expenditures are approved on a case-by-case decision by Sonae Capital Excom. Currently, therefore, all the investments are on hold, and except for, of course, the biomass cogeneration plant, which has already started 2 years ago, and it's expected to become operation, to begin operations in the second half of this year, and basically Santa Polonia. Santa Polonia, we decided not to exit it. Basically, we have a concession agreement already signed prior to COVID, so we do need to invest. Anyway, the cash outflow regarding this investment in Santa Polonia will never occur this year fully. Okay, we do expect cash to exit the company for the period of 2 years. Regarding all the other investments, I would say that prior to COVID, we had quite an ambitious growth plan, both in fitness and in CapWatt. Regarding fitness, of course, the opening rhythm will be pretty much influenced by what will be the fitness industry after COVID. So we could expect to see a slowdown on the pace of opening of new units, at least it's what we do anticipate. And CapWatt is in fact one of the pillars of the portfolio of Sonae Capital. It's quite a steady business unit that mitigates the risk of the portfolio. So we do intend to continue to invest in this business unit. But as Miguel was saying, every investment has to be looked upon on a case-by-case basis, considering not only the cash outflow, but what it represents to the development of CapWatt and itself and the portfolio as a whole.
And complementing your question on the expansion of the hotel business, Santa Polonia, we have talked about it, and we believe that by the time the hotel starts operations, things will be normalized, and we do believe that the long-term trend of tourism will still hold after this. There will, of course, be some changes, but overall, we do believe the trends to hold, and that location is of particular interest. It's an iconic building. on a very privileged location, so we do believe that it will be very well placed in terms of the competitive set. And the hotel in Porto, as you know, it's not an investment of ours. We will be renting the hotel, and it is still moving forward. And then, in terms of debt, and before I hand it over to Yvonne, debt and liquidity, just a note on working capital. It's true that we did have some pressure on working capital on the first quarter, and yes, you are right, it was mainly due to Futura. This is a particular type of working capital because it represents virtually no risk. It has to do with our obligations to make margin calls when the commodities that we are trading lose or gain value, depending on whether we are long or short in terms of that position. We have cautiously decreased the volumes of activity, and we do not expect great increases in working capital because of that. It's, of course, some capital that is trapped, let's say, but not at risk.
But in fact, just complementing what Miguel was saying, regarding the 18%, 80 million increase of net debt in the first quarter, half of it came from the increase in working capital regarding Futura activity. But anyway, currently it already decreased by half of this amount. So basically, we witness, as you probably are aware, an extreme high volatility in the energy commodities in the first quarter and a little bit in April also. So what we have did, we break the opening of new deals, but anyway, this is a kind of special working capital because it relates to margin calls that we have to do on the derivatives that we deal with. All the other, mostly the increase of the remaining amount to reach the 18 million of that was related to biomass fire generation plant. So we continue to pay for the investment that we already made, and we do consider to still have CapEx outflow until the end of this year because you do not pay all the investments at once. Regarding
liquidity.
So if we do anticipate any working capital pressure moving along, we really do not anticipate any major impact on this. Of course, we all always have Futura and commodities markets. But anyway, we monitor those variables closely, and we are quick and agile in speeding down the activity if we do see an increase that we consider to be exaggerated on the amount of working capital employed. Regarding other business units, we do not have any major stocks, neither on Futura. And hospitality and fitness do not have any working capital investment. Mostly tendency by is zero.
Accounts receivable.
Yes.
Under control.
Yes, completely. So we do not see any major impact on working capital regarding any potential spillover from COVID activity. Last, I think I haven't skipped any one. The last one.
Yeah.
Regarding liquidity, as I was saying, Bruno, we do have, after the last bond issue, we have a 2.1 years of average life on our debt. We already have the green bond secured, this bridge loan. As I was saying a while ago, as inclusive the mandatory repayment when we draw down that operation. That operation in particular will be a 40 million euro issuance, so quite an important percentage on our gross debt, and will increase further our debt, the average life of our debt. We, Sonae Capital, of course, is always talking with the financial partners in order to adjust and optimize both the cost of funds and the life, the average life of this debt, in order to fully address its strategic and development targets. We continue to work with banks, of course, and we really do not see any major worry regarding regarding the COVID impact. Basically, what we do see is the banks are willing to lend. We really see, of course, also that some pressure on the spreads are being used and seen. For instance, we place a lot of commercial paper in market, not subscribed by banks, in investors directly, and even in this kind of issuance, we have seen an increase in the spread. Basically, people are seeing more risk generally in the economy, and therefore are demanding a higher spread related to the issuance of debt. But I would say that nothing compares regarding the mood that so far we have seen and have with the context that we have with our pool of relationship banks. We are not seeing anything compared to what was the 2008-2009 financial crisis. So we do not expect to have any shortage of liquidity. We could see some increase in pricing, especially in certain types of sectors where the perceived risk from banks and debt investors is higher. But so far, nothing that would keep us awake at night.
Okay, thank you very much. Very clear. Thank you for your answers. Just to follow up, if I may, on CapEx, I understand that it should mainly be limited to the biomass plant and to the investment in the Santa Polonia hotel, apart from M&A. Apart from M&A, what levels of CapEx could we be talking about for this year? In the range of 20 to 25 million euros will be a good reference?
Yes, probably, Bruno. That would be a good reference. But let me still point out that we are not ruling out any further investments that might come along if the appropriate funding conditions are there.
We really took special time and attention in working out this the mechanism that we have to implement in-house in order to address all the opportunities that will arise in the market. We are aware that difficult times are always times for interesting opportunities. So Sonae Capital intends to be at least with our eyes on the market in order to see what appears there that might bring some interesting developments to the portfolio. And we, as Miguel was saying, always address that in compliance with our maximum debt and available funds to do so. And that's it through not only for current business development, but also to M&A opportunities that might arise in the market.
Okay, very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, please press star and one if you wish to ask any questions. We will now take your next question that comes from the line of Mark Webb from Quaero. The line is open.
Yeah, good afternoon. Two questions, if I may. Firstly, on the energy business, could you just remind us of the business model of Mangualde and how it is linked to prices and volumes and might be sensitive to the economy? And also a reminder on the other divisions, the revenue stream. And also in terms of the debt of the company, the 225 million, could you just remind us what can be linked directly to the energy business? And last question on the fitness business, can you just remind us what proportion of revenues are yearly subscription or are they mostly monthly subscription? Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Starting with Mangualde. So Mangualde is a biomass fired plant that operates under a feed-in tariff regime. It has a 25-year-long feed-in tariff. That's basically a flat tariff dependent only on inflation. It will also, apart from the stream of electricity revenues under that tariff, it will also be selling thermal energy to the adjacent plant from Sonai Arauco. And it burns biomass, has to secure biomass in the market to burn that biomass. The main advantage, competitive advantage of that plant is that the most part of that biomass is already secured by nature because it comes from the boar plant itself, so it is readily available and it's actually a waste from that plant, that industrial plant. So you have a very fairly stable stream of cash flows over time that should be very predictable. In terms of before asking Yvonne to let you in some more details about debt, in terms of fitness, almost all of our revenues are monthly subscriptions. Even though we do have some limitations in terms of dropouts from our clients, but we are, as you know, presently not charging those fees.
And I believe Mark also asked about the revenue streams of the business units and how would they be impacted by COVID. Was that your question, Mark?
Just to understand, you know, what is the sensitivity of the other plants of CapWatt to the economic environment?
Okay, CapWatt has only plants so far under the feed-in regime, but Miguel could explain this further.
Yes, CapWatt is quite protected from any changes in revenues. There is only a smaller part of its revenues that's coming from the sale, the proceeds of heat to the industrial partners, that in some cases is not fixed, but that will be a very small percentage of our revenues. So basically CapWatt does have a very high degree of resilience to this situation and in fact can take some advantage of decreased costs of commodities, namely natural gas, which is one of the most important lines of cost in CapWatt.
And CO2.
CO2 allowances also could save us some money.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Regarding that, when we make the issuance of the green bonds, related to this biomass plant that is beginning to operate in the second half. I would say that considering our debt, energy or CapEx will represent roughly 1/3 of the debt. And when, roughly 1/3. We do not have ring fence debt on the business unit. So we do have access to the cash flow generated by all business units, regardless of the debt being located at the holding level or at the business unit level. We do this in order to have access, fully access to the cash flows each business unit delivers, and therefore obtain bargaining power both on the debt issuance and its cost, but also allowing us to support some business that at a particular moment cannot be so easily financed directly in the market. So basically we do manage the debt as corporate debt regardless of its location within the business units or not, or at the holding level.
That's great. Thank you very much. It's all very clear. If I may ask just one last question on the subject of the debt and at the holding level, can you just remind us what the cost of your debt is when you're issuing your new debts recently at the holding level, and also give us an idea of what costs you will be paying on your green bond to give us a bit of a feeling for what the cost of debt for CapWatt is.
Basically, for instance, the last bond issue that we've made on the first quarter had an all-in cost of 1.3%. Okay? The bond issue that we are going to do once the cogeneration plant starts to work is a 17-year operation with a 3% fixed cost.
Okay, thank you.
But basically, the difference here is the tenor of the operation. One operation you are talking about 17 years, and the bond that we have issued is a 4-year bond issue.
And one of them is ring fence, and the other is not?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, and we have no further questions at this point. Please continue.
Okay, so I must thank you all for attending and wish that you keep well, and we will be seeing you again in July 2020 for our first half results. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That does conclude your conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.